is Rebecca Dirks for PremierGuitar.com. We're here with Guthrie Govan at the Aristocrat Show, and you're going to walk us through your rig here.
Apparently so.
Yes, you've got the Sur guitar, which is what you're known for. Can you tell us a little bit about this model?
Yeah, this is the third and most recent incarnation of my signature model. And unlike the other ones, which are mostly mahogany, this is basswood and a plain maple top, and this mysterious substance here is roasted maple. Which is like regular maple, but they cook it in an oven without any oxygen, so all the moisture and evil leaves the wood. And it's cool, it makes it very resonant, and it also means if I'm flying a lot and going to places with freaky climates, this neck doesn't care. I don't really need to adjust it.
And what do you like about the basswood maple versus the mahogany?
It's actually the opposite of what I've always liked. Yeah. I dig the mahogany thing because it has that honky nasal mid-range, and the guitar I hear in my head sounds like that. But for a gig like this, where there's only three of us, there's no rhythm guitar, there's no keyboards, and everyone's job is to sound as big as possible. And this wood combination has every frequency, so I think of it as the mahogany plus more top-end stuff, plus more low-end stuff.
So for solo stuff, you would still go back to the mahogany?
Yeah, well, I'd have to judge it on a case-by-case basis, like check out who else is in the band and how many frequencies they're eating up. But this seems to work perfectly for this gig, and also it's the guitar I used on the album, so it's nice to do the gig and actually sounds like the record.
What pickups are in this one?
Sur pickups. I can bore you with the technical detail. That's an FL, I believe. That's an SSV, and this is an SSH Plus. These things need better names, like Power Tiger or something. But
and that's a Sur Trem too.
It's a go-to Trem, which is not locking. It actually has the vintage style saddles on this, which I think sound a little bit better.
And what gauge strings are you using?
10 to 46, rotor sound.
And are you just tune standard?
Yeah, apart from about three songs in this set, I have to do the drop D thing.
Okay, so you actually drop mid-set.
This is all about, because it's a floating trem, it's going up and down. So that's a tremolo, and if I tighten these two things, you can see that it's moving freely and there's no real friction. It's doing the gargle. But when I tighten that, it essentially becomes a fixed bridge. So... now undo that and it's a whammy bar again. So
excellent. And you're using this to mute open strings?
Yeah. Anything that's those kind of tricks, you don't have enough flesh left to mute the strings the conventional way, so hairband to the rescue.
And any specific kind of action or fret setup you like?
Big frets are good. These are big steel frets, which is extra good because you get them the way you want them and then they don't wear out.
Very nicely shined up there.
Yeah, well, they are joyous things to behold.
All right. So what kind of amp are you using tonight?
That's a Sur Badger 30. And it's got this power scaling feature. At the moment, the two knobs on the left are only halfway up, but for the gig, I'll crank them all the way. So you just get the power stage working as hard as it possibly can, which is pleasing. But the idea with that amp is with the power scaling, you can subdue the volume levels, but still the power amp itself thinks it's working really hard. So it sounds like a cranked amp.
And one of those SM57s there is ours, but you're actually miking that with two different mics. Can you tell us about the setup you've got going?
To be honest, no, I can't. I let the sound guys do their cab miking thing. Sometimes I'll sneakily move the mic somewhere a little closer to the edge of the speaker. So I think it sounds a bit tinny and disgusting with the mic right in the middle of the speaker.
What speakers do you have in that cab?
These are Warehouse speakers. I can't remember the name of them, but it's along the same lines as a Celestion Vintage 30.
Okay.
It's the Warehouse take. I should explain the general philosophy of this pedal board is not to be awesome, it is to be portable. That tea tray is the same size as my carry-on luggage, so I can sneak everything I need into one suitcase. So there is a kind of warped logic to it. And in some cases, I've gone for the pedal that's smallest rather than the pedal that's my favorite.
Sure.
So the Premier guitar people shouldn't take this too seriously. But let's see what we got. Over here, ladies and gentlemen, the Sir Coco Boost. This is where the filth comes from. Basically on the left, it's just a volume boost. It's just adding more decibels so the amp thinks the guitar is louder than it really is. On the other side, it's the same deal plus an extra mid-range boost. That switch in the middle allows you to choose which mid-range frequency you're squeezing the hardest. So it's the difference. If I crank everything up, this is just raw amp with no effect, which is adequate amounts of meat, but and then this one, the mid-range one, really thickens it out pleasingly, I think. So I like that. It makes the notes feed back very readily. But enough of the Coco Boost. Let us move on to my other devices. There's not much I can tell you about this. It's the TC Polytune. So you can do that, and it tells me that my low E string is sharp. And my B string, oh my God, it's a mess. All right, I'll tune up more before the gig. My favorite thing about this is when you're doing open air gigs in the midday. I've had a few kind of big festivals in sunny fields. And most pedals, you can't really read the digital display because the sun messes everything up. But that senses what the weather is like and adjusts the brightness accordingly. So it's practical. And then in the loop, we have this thing, which is just on all the time. A little bit of just ambience, I guess. It's the TC Flashback. It's a very cool little delay. It does a lot of stuff and doesn't take up much space on the floor.
Do you have your own tone print for that one?
No. I'm using someone's tone print. I don't even know which one it is. It's a model of an old Echoplex.
Okay, cool.
But this always travels with me now because there's a primitive looper in there as well. So if I have to do a clinic in the afternoon before the gig, I can just set that to loop. And so it's not doing a great deal. It's just cheers me up to know that it's there. And then this Hall of Fame, this only gets an airing for the ballad. There's one ballad in our set. And
which song's that?
Flatlands. So if I had that going on with the distorted sound, it would be a glorious mess.
Do you know, are you using somebody's tone print on that one or just setting it for yourself?
No, this is just a setting called Hall. It's just the standard TC thing. I have a lot more work to do on this tone print stuff.
It's, I know, they're just
huge potential there. But I did one for the chorus pedal and then forgot to bring it. So.
Alright, so but you do have a chorus on the board there from Providence.
It's true. What can I tell you about this chorus? This is in the front. This and everything else I'm about to tell you about is in the front of the amp. Only the Flashback and the Hall go in the loop. So this sounds expensive. Well, it's not the quietest chorus pedal in the world. You can hear there's some egg frying kind of background noise going on there, but I like the fact that it still sounds fat, you know. And if I turn this up to 11, I can really get it goes into disturbing territories. And this is fun sometimes. Pseudo Hammond kind of behavior, but generally it's just like that. It's a pretty standard chorus sound, but done well, I think. We like the Providence stuff. Then we have this, which seems to be the one pedal in my board that everyone asks about, and it's the cheapest, nastiest pedal of the bunch, and I've had it forever. Wah Rocker 3 by the good people at Gaiatone, and it makes me sound like a duck, which I enjoy. So it's there for the funky stuff and any strange noises I might want. And we're nearly there. This is the Jerry Cantrell signature wah.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd end up using this. But it's throaty, it's fat, it pleases me. Which is cool. And then volume pedal at the end. I actually like the Dunlop volume pedal, but it was too big for my tea tray. So this is, well, perhaps some of the guys out there will recognize that volume pedal. Yeah. It's not a bad one, but I think the Dunlop one just feels really good.
And then what kind of pick are you using there? It's a different...
This expensive pick.
Is it Red Bear?
Red Bear. Behold.
What do you like about that?
They just sound great. Yeah. They're meant to sound like Turtle Shell, but you don't have to kill anything, right, which is groovy, man.
And you can, like, take them out of the country and stuff.
Yeah. And they last a really long time. And I just have to make sure I don't lose it or someone doesn't steal it after sound check, which used to happen a lot. I just leave the pick in there, go off and have dinner, and I come back. My tool of the trade has vanished. So it lives in my pocket now.
Thank you very much for taking some time to talk to us show us through the pedal board.
Yeah, now you know.
Now we know.
Fun. Cheers.
This is Rebecca Dirks for PremierGuitar.com.